Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boils and ghouls. This is your Wolfist with the Mostest, your one-man podcast, the one-man band, all that good kind of crap. Let's do a little riding with the wolf, get some comics, talk about war. We interrupt podcast in name of Mother Russia. It's Rusev Day, Huda Putria, whatever. You remember that one Jackamoff that was on Twitter that used to wear, like, a half pair of sunglasses, and he kept going back and forth on the camera where he would talk in English, and then he'd scroll over to the Russian side that was wearing the glasses, and he would do that stupid-ass commentary. Oh, my God. If you guys never saw that guy in the wrestling communities, you should be thankful. It was the most irritating fucking thing ever. You know, this is something that I'll bring up right away. I have blocked people for less, and it's not because of their political views or because of their sex and religion and all those kind of views. It's because they're fucking dumbasses, and all these people are trying to do the dumbest stupid shit to go viral, and it's just annoying as fuck. I've blocked people just because they literally responded to every single thing that I posted. Like, I don't know you. You do not have to comment on every single thing. And one of them, the guy said I don't know, something. He had Asperger's or autism or something. I don't know. You know, that's great. I'm sorry. That's cool. I don't know how to appropriately respond to that without offense these days. But it's plugging up my Twitter. It's plugging up my social medias. And if it's not a pertinent information to my business, which I hold those things on, then I'm sorry, it's got to go, and I don't have to allow anyone on my social medias. That's just a simple thing. And anytime I've gotten in an argument with somebody, it's not even worth arguing over. I just go straight for the block button. I say my piece, and I block them, which usually subsequently gets them to create a new account so that they continue their point, because God knows people have to have the final word in things. They have to get their piece out, but, well, much like Twitter blocked Trump, no, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to hear what you have to say, and when I'm done, I'm done. And even more so, I can just turn off the notifications, which is something I had to do, because for years there, I was spending all my time seeing that I had blips and messages and things on Instagram and Twitter and all that. And it was just people shit-talking. And then when I would respond, they wanted to have the last word, so they would come up with something else. It's like arguing with a liberal. They already have 15 preconceived arguments for every single thing you could absolutely say. I mean, you could tweet fart, and a liberal is going to be like, that's racist against fucking homosexuals because they actually gauge their dick size by farts. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, or if you're new to me, obviously, I ain't shy of offending nobody. It's all in the name of humor, because everything in the world's fucked up. Which, speaking of which, we are going to talk a little bit about war. Nothing reminds me of my childhood more than great cartoons, fandom, toy lines, and most of those toy lines and cartoons and comic books and everything had bad guys. You know, a year or two ago when I was mentioning things like a utopian society absolutely cannot work and it's the most dumbest, frivolous, stupid, asinine idea you could ever come up with, because it would be boring as fuck, people wouldn't make money, and the world revolves around chaos. But it's just how it is. All those cartoons that we liked had a bad guy, and every bad guy embodied something else. There's been talk and conversations where Megatron was a Nazi because of the helmet that he wore. He looked like a stormtrooper. Obviously, Cobra from G.I. Joe were Nazis. They just changed it around. Hydra actually were Nazis. In Marvel Entertainment. Of course, they've changed that now to where you can't have... I loved watching Captain America punch Johann Schmidt in the face
It was cool, but now that he's part of Hydra, it's like, all right, we know what you're doing, but the fact that you can't say the other N-word, it's just kind of dumb. So, another one, Star Wars. I guess there was a lot of Nazi elements in Star Wars. You know, the outfits, the boots, the stormtroopers, the name, the stormtroopers, and then all the officers looked like, you know, Nazi commandants and things like that. But that's a lot of Nazis were the ultimate bad guy. Who was number two? It was always the Russians. In fact, G.I. Joe actually, more towards the end when the Soviet Union was breaking up, tried to bring in, I don't think it was Red Dog, it was Red something, and he was a Russian that had switched sides, and now he's on the G.I. Joe team. Was it Red October? Fuck, what was that guy's name? I don't know. Anyway, like, comic books like The Punisher were a little more realistic in who they would fight against. You would see a lot of Middle Eastern themed wars that he would partake in. He was a Vietnam vet. He went over and did things in Thailand, and he would take care of Russians and the Russian mafia. And, you know, it was, Russians were the bad guy. And then for probably the majority of my fan base, obviously, we know wrestling. So, even before there was a major war, I mean, who were the top heels in rock and wrestling? Besides Rowdy Piper, just because he was a natural, gifted, wonderful heel, were the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. And Russians just always were the bad guys. And that's what we had been used to. So it's so weird with, like, the 40th anniversary of Masters of the Universe and the 40th anniversary of G.I. Joe and all of these things. Well, guess what else is coming back from my childhood? The Russians! Yay! I mean, you've heard my stories, like how I got into liking aircraft and airplanes was because they debuted the stealth bomber for Desert Storm, and I was just infatuated, especially living next to an Air Force base. I got to see a lot of these things sneak in and out, and then now that I'm living next to the Air Force base, there's two or three major ones in the United States, Nellis, which connects to the test site, and Area 51, that's where I live, not Area 51, but I live in Nellis area. The other one's Wright Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio, because that's, you know, supposedly where Hangar 18 is and where the aliens actually moved. Spoiler alert, Area 51 has only and ever will be just a test site for new equipment and new technology. So there weren't ever aliens there. Whatever Bob Lazar was claiming to work on at S2, probably was alien technology, but alien in the sense that it was just foreign, not otherworldly. I don't think they've ever used the word otherworldly. They just said it was alien technology, which could just mean it's unknown to them. Same thing with a UFO. Obviously, a balloon in the sky, and I'm not talking weather balloon, I'm talking like an actual Mylar balloon, could be a UFO because you don't know what it is. So that's just how that works, but yeah, good to see the Russians back in the news. Man, getting a little bored. And imagine that. Guess what? COVID leaves, and here comes the Russians. Like, here is the next big story. If this wasn't planned, I don't know what is. But if you look up key terms like the Great Reset, NWO is obviously sort of overdone in conspiracy theories. Like, that happened decades ago. We've been living under it, and it's called NATO. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Nothing to get excited about there. But the new buzzword is the Great Reset. Transition of power. And Russia probably saw what was happening, that the whole world listened to key UN speakers and shutting the entire world down because of COVID. And now he thinks, all right, this is my chance to get out there and invade and take a little bit back from Mother Russia so that we can have a USSR and his legacy can last as long as the world does. Well, sorry, Putin on the Ritz. I don't think that's the way it's going to work. Now, however, I had a lot to say about this. I am at the comic shop, so, you know, I'll wrap this little segment up and then we'll go from there, but I don't think it'll happen, and so far, from what I understand, I watched the State of the Union address, I watched the news heavily, and everything revolving around Ukraine and what's going on. In fact, an Antonov 225, not the biggest one, but the one that's still bigger than a C-5, flew into Nellis. I caught it on radar, and I booked my ass out there just so I could see it take off, and that thing was massive. But again, as part of our aid and part of our help, we are bringing in cargo planes from Belgium, Portugal. I haven't seen anything from Poland, but I imagine they'll be here soon. A lot of German activity. And then when the Ukraine one popped up, I had to go check it out. Ukraine's not too happy with us. Everything that we've said and mentioned has all said we will do everything possible to protect NATO countries. And Ukraine isn't a NATO country. In fact, they just signed their paperwork yesterday to become part of that. And if you listen to their delegates and some of their people speak, they're not too happy. Drawing a line in the sand by putting these sanctions on Russia only means that it's like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. I bet you won't cross this line. Oh, you did? Shoot. Okay, but I dare you not to cross this line. Oh, crap, you did that too. And then hopefully one of these dumbass ideas is going to work and Russia will just jump themselves off the cliff, just like the Looney Tunes cartoon. But I don't think that's the way it's going to work. I think Putin is a madman. I think he's probably going to try and save face. And if he sees that he's losing, which he is right now, he hasn't used his air war yet. It's all been ground troops and ballistic missiles so far. But if we piss him off enough, it's going to be a nuclear war. He'll go out in a blaze of glory, you know, in his underwear, in fucking USSR flag waving in the wind, much like they depict Americans with their mullets and their cigarettes and Budweiser and waving the American flag headbanging in the wind. Like, which, by the way, brings me to a side little thing here. Tom Veg, great, wonderful Croatian sculptor that we all know and love that does sculpting work for Warsmen. I've done a lot of customs with. He has released a free, that's right, the F word of the day, a free digital file that you can download if you have a 3D printer of The Little Dictator, and emphasis on the dick part. He's done a wonderful sculpt of Putin's head, but put it on an alien-esque body with a little itty-bitty missile between his legs. So, and of course he's wearing his combat boots because, you know, you have to. Hilarious. I'm going to print one off. I'm going to make one for myself in a clear neon orange and call it the nuclear version of it. I bet you the little dick falls off in printing, though. But that's hilarious. Anyway, on the brink of nuclear war, also something from my childhood. If you're old enough, you may remember, you know, if you're in your 40s or close to it, you may remember earthquake drills. If you lived in Washington, I had to do volcano drills. And people my age and a little bit older had to do nuclear drills where we had to watch atomic videos and learn how to hide under our desk. Like, bitch, that ain't gonna work. We're gonna disintegrate and there's gonna be like a shadow on the ground if there is anything. Like, that's not how nuclear bombs work. That desk, although, I don't know, those things were pretty rough and rugged, that ain't gonna save you from shit. I also don't know that hiding in a refrigerator would work, a la Indiana Jones. It might, but I doubt it. I have heard that one of the only things that you can do, possibly, is get in a tub. I don't know how or why that would be any different, but apparently hiding in your bathtub will save you from nuclear war. But would you want to? I mean, just think about this. It's not going to be Walking Dead or, you know, a wonderful zombie dystopian society, because obviously we tried that with COVID and zombies didn't show up. So, all right, I have parked at the comic shop. We are going to see what's happening here and see if we got some memories or things here. A whole lot of nothing, just like a whole lot of Rosie and all my Tinder dates. Slow week at the comic shop. Again, I've been kind of mentioning lately that I'm not necessarily over it, but the stories don't pertain to me. I picked up Daredevil Woman Without Fear, because I kind of like the Elektra costume, and Kraven showed up, and I'm kind of, I didn't really, like, watch the story, but, you know, or I didn't really read it. I just kind of, exactly what I said I did. I watched it. I just looked at the pages. The regular Daredevil series was a lot better when she transitioned, when Matt Murdock was in prison. And then somehow, between the regular set and Devil's Reign, he got out of prison, but Devil's Reign hasn't finished yet, so it's like a spoiler alert. I don't know. I loved that whole Marvel Netflix thing. I love Kingpin, Daredevil. I think it makes more of a realistic story. So the regular Daredevil series was absolutely like that. And then Devil's Reign, I thought, was definitely going to be something else. Some jackass almost hit me because I'm making a turn and he's fucking impatient. Well, sucks to be him. And I don't know. And they're trying to do all these things with these characters now with the red, white, and black, like the black and white issues, but just with blood. And, you know, it was cool with Wolverine. Deadpool was kind of eh. And then now Elektra. I mean, you really don't need all that, but whatever. It is what it is. The only other thing I got was the... Oh, even forgot what it was. I gotta look in the damn bag. Trying not to let people piss me off today, because I was Eeyore last week. Doctor Strange, the new female one. The last book you'll ever read. X-Men. So X-Men. You know, I realize I never actually really read X-Men back in the day. It was just a thing you had to buy because Jim Lee did the artwork. But I didn't realize how spacey and otherworldly X-Men was. Like, I just didn't... I must not have read any of that shit. Because that's all this is now. I mean, it's basically like reading a Star Trek or a bad Star Wars. I thought X-Men to me was the battle of, you know, mutants versus Sentinels and Wolverine versus Sabretooth and Magneto trying to take over the world. And now they've got this whole Krakoa thing where they live in a fictional plant world. I guess that, you know, they're all vegetarians now or something. And it doesn't matter if they die because they get brought back in these pod people things. So half of the X-Men have already died and they keep coming back. So I don't know. It was dumb. And then I read the Sabretooth issue finally, the standalone, which was kind of cool because he got sent to that purgatory for being an actual serial killer. Shock, shock. And I think he's just dreaming because they're going through all these what-if scenarios. I don't know that he's actually escaped, so I think that's going to be the cliffhanger for the book, but oh well, it is what it is. So I left the comic shop, and there was something cool there, and I'm like, I really don't need to do this, but I'll leave and see how I feel about it. Went to Walmart right next door, and there was a Jack Diddley shit, so I thought, you know what, fuck it. So, interlude, I put back several things this week. I think I mentioned it before, where I just can't justify spending so much money on these exclusive box sets of things. I mean, $150 for that Nika TMNT cartoon with April, Irma, Vern, and the boss or whatever it is. It's too expensive. You buy a 2-pack and it's already $50 or $55, so a 4-pack should only be $99 or $110. I think the last 4-pack was only, what was the Turtles in Disguise was like $129 with all the accessories, and then the band Turtles was only like $110 or $119. $150, why? Just because it comes with a couple of cameras and stuff? It's too much. I feel like they're milking way too much for a cardboard backdrop and some extra stuff, plus two figures we already have. So I kind of feel like I'm growing up when it comes to collecting. And then as far as the regular figures go, I mean, you buy a NECA figure, it's $50. You buy a Elite WWE, it's $25. You buy a Ultimate Edition, it's $40. It's getting out of hand. So I've been putting a lot of things back. I didn't pre-order, because I'm also sick of waiting a year for things. I did not pre-order the Crooked Ninja Turtle Gang or the Rock People Army. I didn't pre-order really anything that came. I mean, the new G.I. Joes, the new McFarlane, those were just sort of, I got them because there was nothing else to collect. They are cool, don't get me wrong, I do like them, but it wasn't one of those things I was looking forward to, but now that I have them, I kind of want to keep collecting them. So there's been this thing with me and Batman figures. I hate Batman, but I love the villains. Yet, if I were to ever get a complete set of something, I would keep it. So when DC Universe was out, I tried to get a complete set of the Justice League. I couldn't find one or two of them, and I sold them all. Or they came out with the wrong version of Martian Manhunter or something. It just pissed me off. I want one complete set of something that I never have to buy again. And so far, that's been the story of my collecting. I tried with superpowers, and I had all those. From when I was a kid, the Kenner superpowers. I still have the Batman, the Robin, the Batmobile, Joker, and Penguin from that series. Actually, I think I have a Riddler too. Well, that just makes my surprise and purchase completely invalid, because I didn't realize that. Anyway, there's another thing that I got into was I love the 66 Batman, the Adam West stuff, and I bought the McFarlane ones and sold them. I bought the little 3.75 versions. I don't remember who did that even, but I got them and I sold them. Then I had I don't even know who did these things. I mean, I've had 3 or 4 different versions of it, but you always get Batman, Robin, the Joker, maybe the Penguin, and by the time they get to Catwoman, they give you some weird version of her, or they don't do the Riddler's costume right, or something, or you never get Alfred or King Pharaoh or the back, none of that stuff. It's never available. So I goes into the comic shops today, and I sees me a box that says Giant Batman on there. Well, given that the guitar player from Ireland that's coming over here, who I'm becoming close friends with, is a huge Batman fan, I figure, I'll flip the box, see what's on there. I mean, it's a huge-ass box. And I thought it was a picture of the entire line. It was, I guess, the Mezco 5.5 box, if I'm saying that right. It had everything. So I got it. I didn't want to. I went to Walmart and thought about it and came back. And I was like, you know what? I've put back $300 or $400 worth of shit and didn't pre-order shit the last couple of weeks. This is $140 and I can get an entire set and never have to buy another fucking Batman thing again. So, it is what it is. So it's got a cardboard bat cave that you can flip around and it'll look like a carport to drive the Batmobile in. It comes with a Batmobile with rotating flame booster in the back. It's got, I think, 7 figures. There is an Alfred. There's a Batman. There's a Boy Wonder, a Riddler, a Joker, a Penguin, the White Catwoman, and each one comes with all of their signature figures, or their accessories, and most of them come with a second head. So I was debating. I almost got into the McFarland stuff, and I'm thinking at $20 a piece, I don't know that I want to have surfing Batman, boxing Batman, surfing Joker, all these extra things, and then they'll never come out with the rest of them. And I'm kind of mad at Target because I had the Batcave pre-ordered and the Batmobile, and they canceled my pre-order. So if I wanted to get everything from McFarland, it would have cost me probably $200, and this was $140, and they're vintage Star Wars size, and they're simple. And I like toys that actually look like toys, not fucking German mannequins that you pull the nutsack down and their arms flail up and down on the Christmas tree. So anyway, I look like a weirdo sitting here in the Target parking lot. I'm going to close this section off and go see what they got, and I'll get back at you. I'm pretty sure I'm done with spending for the day, but you never know, knowing me. Gah, people are talkative today. Try and use my phone, and then I get blip, 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 all these messages and things like that. Unfortunately, I had to turn on some notifications with my phone because there were people coming into town that I didn't know were coming into town, and I didn't check that particular app that day. So I understand the benefit of these things, but yeah, it just seems like too much. Go. Okay, you're not gonna go. Fuck you then. You know, I try and be nice and let people out of their parking spot, and then they sit there like a fucking dumbass. So, fuck you. All right. So, back to the matter at hand. Another person that was just bugging me about shit wanted to go see Batman tomorrow, so I guess I'm roped in to go and see the Batman tomorrow afternoon. First showing. I'm going to wear the smallest Twilight shirt I possibly can, and I'm expecting it to be sheer and utter crap, but I am going to face fuck a bucket of popcorn and don't care. So, whatever. I'm in it for the popcorn and the fact that we don't have to wear fucking masks anymore. Alright. Back to them damn Ruskies. So, if this were 1991 WWF and this situation with Russia and Ukraine happened, what do you think Vince McMahon would do? This is a question I post on Twitter, and nobody really gives a shit unless I post figures that they can steal ideas from. So, if you decide that you're going to use current events as your basis for a storyline, how would you book that? Now, obviously, WWE is way too PC these days. They don't do characters, and with the advent of the internet, you know, these dumbasses are going out blasting Sergeant Slaughter for stolen valor, having never been an actual Marine, that he was never a serviceman. I mean, it's kayfabe. He's an actor. God, calm down. It was the IWO, Internet World Order. IWC, internet wrestling cunts, I don't know. Anyway, fuck, it's just a TV show. So back in the day, you would totally believe that, you know, maybe he was a Russian sympathizer. Maybe this guy actually was a guy from Iraq that, you know, was over here. I mean, we didn't know. I mean, as a kid, you believe just about anything anyway, but we always thought those storylines were kind of cool, and as an adult, I appreciate them more because, man, it really got your ire up when my mom included, and everyone is out there trying to sell and make yellow ribbons for people to support the troops and all that. Here's Hacksaw Jim Duggan wrapping yellow ribbons around the 2x4s. Hulk Hogan's wearing yellow, and then you got one of our American heroes and patriots, Sergeant Slaughter, being a turncoat. Well, that was, of course, because of Desert Storm, what was going on. And I had already been watching that, so you couldn't have got me more interested in TV at that time than to have a Desert Storm scenario on wrestling, which was my other absolute favorite thing. So, here we are, 2022. Putin has invaded Ukraine. What do you do for a storyline? So, I've been thinking about this. I got maybe one answer. It just, I didn't understand it. I know people are using their words, but the people they're talking about or how they're using their words don't make sense to me. I'm so far removed from modern wrestling that whoever said something, I recognize three of the words. So, yeah, I mean, that's just stupid. About the last time I was watching wrestling, I think, was about maybe 2014 or 15. And then they started doing the Hogan stuff and messing up the WWE Network, and it just stopped becoming fun to watch. So, about that era was the last era that was sort of enjoyable. Whatever the WrestleMania was, where it was Sting versus Triple H with NWO and the DX thing, or John Cena versus Rusev. So that's the situation I think they should have done or would have done now, is maybe almost make Rusev a hero. Because he already was Bulgarian, but, you know, obviously they didn't give a fuck about where people were from. They're just like, oh, you look like a Russian. You're going to be a Russian. Look at Nikita Koloff. God, I watched Dark Side of the Ring, and this guy, fucking talking in a normal accent, he's like, let me get you animal. What happened to that voice? I mean, you heard Macho talk in real life, and he still kind of did, well, you know, we did the thing, and, you know, me and Hogan, so we weren't the best of friends, but we did our thing, you know, so that's kind of an offshoot of his stage voice that he uses. But damn, when I heard Nikita Koloff talking, he's like, oh yeah, so when me and Animal and Hawk used to fight all the time, we would do this, whoa, what the fuck is that? You're supposed to be like spitting and hocking a loogie, talking like a, you know, fermented Russian over here. God. So, yeah, I imagine they probably would have made maybe... I'm doing this off the cuff. I haven't prepared this. Obviously, they couldn't make Cena the bad guy. But they would need to build up to a giant WrestleMania match. So here's what I would say. I would think that Rusev would come out as a Ukrainian, because obviously nobody knows the difference between Bulgaria and Ukraine, and fuck, our president doesn't even know the difference between Iran and Ukraine in the State of the Union address. He had the ambassador for Ukraine stand up and could, you know, say, we're here to support you, but we're not going to send any troops there, blah, blah, blah. We're here to support you, and our hearts are with all of the Iranian people. Son of a bitch, Iranians come from Iran. Go sign that nuclear deal so they don't blow our ass up too, you dumb fuck. God, world leaders are fucking stupid right now. Trudeau's fucking stupid. Biden's fucking stupid. Putin's fucking stupid. The Ukrainian Zelensky guy was an actor and did shit that was stupid, but at least he's got more balls than all of them and is staying in his home country. You know, die with the sinking ship. That's commendable. May not be smart, but it's admirable. So, here's what I would think. I would think probably around the Rumble time, they should have done a thing where Rusev comes back to the WWE, but he now is Ukrainian, and we're behind him, and we're thinking he's the hero. And all of a sudden, Randy Orton comes out and says the reason he got kicked out of the Marines for dishonorable discharge was because he was a Russian sympathizer. And then he brings out, like, a Russian person that is... Maybe Lana. Yeah, that's it. So Randy Orton brings out Rusev's wife, Lana, to be his manager because she's actually Russian. And then that becomes a whole thing. And then they fight over it. And then knowing WWE, they would bury Rusev, bring out John Cena, and Cena would win the world title back from Randy Orton, and that would be the WrestleMania match. I mean, like, we were supposed to build up Ultimate Warrior as the American hero. Remember, he started wearing red, white, and blue, and he had that funky jacket that everyone bought at the mall with the American flag on the back, and, you know, all this shit. And then they buried him and brought in Hogan and gave him the belt, which is fucking weird. Like, you gotta understand, I love Hogan because of what he did for the wrestling community, and I will always love him as a character, but I hated that they continually gave him the belt, especially against Ultimate Warrior, when that should have been, of course, Ultimate Warrior turned out to be a giant dick, but that's just, I guess that's the nature of the beast. I hated to see Hogan always win and then do a 5-minute pose down. Every fucking week. Every fucking match. It never mattered. It was the same shit from Hogan. And then they always put the strap on him. So it's the same thing with 5-move big match Cena. Alright. I am at Goodwill. We'll see what I can spend copious amounts of money on here. Yeah, that was a wasted trip. You ever go to the stores and you got that person that's walking inches behind you, and they don't even want to pass you? They're just looking at the same thing you're looking at. I always stop abruptly and let them run into me, or I just stand there and stare at them and tell them to move along, and then they want to look at the thing I'm standing behind, and I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, God, this, before the whole pandemic thing happened, personal space was an issue, and it still continues to be an issue, and I always hated that. And then even more so once these things started becoming a little more mandated, well, it just, God, nobody follows the rules anyway. Anyway, fucking, that's all right. So back to the whole Ukraine thing. The reason a storyline like that with wrestling wouldn't work today is because to be pro-American is to be the bad guy. So if John Cena came out in a MAGA hat as opposed to his regular hustle, loyalty, and respect, holy shit, that would be the most villainous bad guy they ever possibly could create. Imagine if John Cena came out in a MAGA hat and won the world championship from Rusev or someone they made to be, you know, the hero of the day. God, that would just, there would be riots. And that's how I imagine from the stories I'm hearing that that's the way it was with Slaughter. Like, they wanted to slash his tires, and I heard you gauged the heat you got in the ring versus how many tires you got slashed after the match, and he was afraid for his life. I mean, he did a really good job at that, which is probably why he's, you know, super nice and overly friendly with things on social media now, because he's still trying to make up for that. Like, we're all adults. We forgave him. We knew it was all part of a thing, but boy, were we fucking hot, and Roddy Piper almost had a coronary several times just fucking trying to get through the announcing of those matches. But, a storyline with that wouldn't work. I mean, if Cena did that, God, that would be the bad guy. But then who would be the ultimate good guy if Cena was a turncoat? I mean, it would have the exact opposite effect of when Hogan went to NWO. We hated him for like a week and then realized this is the coolest shit in the world. You know that wouldn't happen with MAGA fans. So, they're not going to touch it. The only other scenario they could do is if they finally, you know, announced that Sonya Deville was a dude and Baron Corbin came out as an effeminate male and identified as a helicopter. I don't know. It's just a shitty, dumbass world that we live in. I was trying to tell people that they wanted my thoughts on what I thought the what do they call it, the SOTU, the State of the Union. Fuck, I can't even couldn't even think of the word for it. Because I was fixated on Nancy Pelosi's fucking lips the whole time. Like, that meth mouth needs to put a mask back on. She looks like a cow chewing chud the whole time. Can't keep her goddamn dentures in her mouth. She keeps sucking on her teeth. That is the most vile and disgusting thing. I don't care what side of the coin she's on or what she supports. As a human being, that's annoying as fuck. So I did watch it, and basically the entire summary of what was on there was a grade school pep rally for grade school intellect. It's a hoorah to, we're going to do this, America's great, everything's fine, don't worry about it. They don't realize that America's in the shitter right now. We're all going bankrupt, and all that free money they gave us, they're now going to come back and overtax us for it. So, it's a fucking mess right now. And then, as far as what they said with Ukraine, Ukraine's pissed. They need air support, but we're not willing to help them out. I saw a delegate crying on TV saying, you took away our nuclear weapons and you took away our power of military so that we wouldn't use them for fear of Russia acquiring them. And now you've made us sitting ducks and are offering sanctions and not weaponry. And Biden continually says his administration is not going to put boots on the ground, but he will offer military aid and support so our tankers and things like that can be in the air on the outskirts of Ukraine. But there's nobody fighting for Ukraine right now except for Ukrainians. Not Iranians, dumbass. It's a real sad story. They need help. They're calling in air support, and we're basically flying a flag outside of their country saying, good job, you can do it. You know? It's they deserve more. And we've policed the world long enough that I think people are actually baffled we haven't gotten involved yet. Personally, I've seen a lot of UK involvement over there. I'm sort of baffled. Those guys come over here to train with our military so we could show them how to do it right with the newest technology. And they're not helping either. So what's going on? Why are we leaving them in the dust? It's like we're almost letting Russia take Ukraine. And what are we going to do? You know, he's going to be the next Bin Laden. We're going to hunt him out and thing. God, this fucking dumbass won't move in front of me. I hate people that don't understand streetlights and signs, and they're just sitting there oblivious to the whole fucking world. I can get a blowjob half drunk, driving home at 4 a.m, podcasting at the same time, and drive. People are fucking dumb. All right, I am at the post office to drop something off here, if this dumbass will ever move. And we'll see where the next stop is. I may be done for the day, and I'm kind of possibly already having buyer's remorse. As probably just because it's a big ticket item, and I'm looking at buying a guitar amp or another one. Not that I need that either. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Oh, my God, if you ever want to get irritated, go to a post office parking lot. Fuck. Do you ever do that? Do you ever have buyer's remorse where you get something and then you bring it home and you're like, man, I don't know why I bought this. I'm not even into this. I've done that a lot of times. I went to Emerald City Comic Con once, and I want to say this was about 2015, maybe? 2015? Something like that. I don't know. The years after 2000, I've just completely forgotten because nothing significant or fun has happened. I went up there and all they had was Walking Dead shit, so that's what I bought. I wasn't even into Walking Dead, but it was at the height of the Funko era. It was just all this shit. You know what? I was going to go to another store, but I'm just not feeling it. I know there's nothing there. So I'm just going to head back. I'm seeing a couple planes in the sky. Some of our large C-17 cargo planes are above Nellis right now. I might actually go head out there and see what's going on. But anywho. Sorry, you can tell I get distracted by planes. I was trying to figure out where it was from and if there's anything else good coming in. Anyway, Emerald City Comic Con was a bust. They didn't have shit that I wanted to buy there. And it was during that era where reaction figures finally first started coming out with the aliens. And those were really all I was looking for. But, you know, it's hard, especially when you go to a traveling, or you travel to a convention. You don't want to just buy long box after long box. So I just wasn't even looking at comic books. And as far as the collectibles went, it was during that lull when there wasn't much going on. I think 25th anniversary G.I. Joe had just stopped. And the only thing anybody was buying or selling or trading with was the new McFarlane Walking Dead figures. And it wasn't even, that was during their first transitional period where they did a series that was full size and sort of static. And then they changed to those oddball size. I think they were like 5-inch figures. So they didn't go with anything else. And we all just bought them because they were the first articulated figure that McFarlane did. And then none of us opened them. Nobody really cared. And they became the clearance sale fodder of the world. I bought them because I have to buy things. I bought Noel. I figured, let's see what the hype's about. I got the compendium, volume 1 and 2, those giant-ass Bibles-sized books. And I regretted all of it. I brought it all home, and it was a waste of money. I probably blew a couple $100 just to say that I bought something at Emerald City. But what I did buy was, there was a place called Toy Stable that I used to go to outside of Tacoma. And they had little antique run places and things around town. But they finally, she retired. She was a school teacher, her name was Lynn, and she retired, bought a barn, and opened up one of her barns as a literal toy stable. And it was so amazing because it was like going into a time capsule. She would just have boxes and buckets of toys and things that she had accumulated over the years. And she bought them for her kids, bought 2 or 3 extras and cases, and just loaded them all up. And then now, you know, was starting to sell them. So when I was in high school and college, that was my favorite place to go, because she would have, I could go digging and pick out a $5 Rancor from the vintage Star Wars line or whatnot. And then she had made so much money and so many friends that she started getting into props. And she had the only working prop of the musical thing, or whatever that is, for Masters of the Universe, the trans-dimensional weird musical device thing that Gwildor had. She had a working one of those, and I got to see it. It was cool. So when I went back up there to visit, she had sold it. She was retired from being retired. And this new kid picked it up. And it was okay. He started to turn it into more of a store. And it lost the fun of digging through things because he had cleaned everything up and priced them appropriately. And then eBay was hot. So, you know, when I was buying it, eBay wasn't hot. We could pick up muscle figures for a quarter each and battle beasts for 2 for $1. And there was tons of them. That's how I had so much shit from Washington, is because there was just toys everywhere. Lilypad was another one. Lilypad had gotten into the eBay movement very early on and started pricing things appropriately. But Lynn was just guessing. I mean, we had Tomart's figure guide, Toy Fair, and Wizard to tell us what things were worth. There wasn't the communication of the internet, so we had no idea. So I went back and visited, and this guy had a regular store going on. I'm like, man, you know what? And I told him the story, how I used to go visit Lynn, and she would just let me dig through the boxes, because I like played with incomplete toys as far as vintage things go, because I want to either complete them or fix it up or pretend that I had these as a kid. And it just, to me, it seems more meaningful in just buying something brand new in the box, sticking it in a plastic case, grading it, never breathing on it and saying, ooh, I own this thing for money. You know, so I told him the story, and I was like, look, I'll spend $500 if you let me dig. I just want to dig. And he's like, you know, funny enough, Lynn still lived on the property and called her up. And, she was old enough that she didn't really remember me. Of course, this had been 15 years since I had last seen her. But I told her, and she was happy that I, you know, was that she made an impact on my early collecting days, so to speak. Not really my childhood, but, you know, my 20s, basically. And she said, you know, I have some stuff that even he hasn't gone through. And she let me dig through. And boy, did I just... And she was giving me the old school prices. And I still haven't sold a single one of those things that I bought from her that day. Because I did not buy them to flip them. I bought them to enjoy them and keep them in my collection. So I got... I think she gave me a walking AT-AT from the original Star Wars line. I think it was missing the figure and like one of the door covers or something, but relatively complete. And it was, I think she gave it to me for like 20, 30 bucks. I mean, it should have gone for 100, 150, but she's like, yeah, I'd do that. Found some mask vehicles, even the white Lamborghini, the Stiletto, I think it's called, was missing the drivers and the helmets. And she gave me that for like 10 bucks. I picked up a couple Brave Star and all the collections of Chuck Norris figures, and they were like $3 and $5 each. Just garage sale fun pricing, and just wonderful woman, wonderful heart, and really made collecting fun. The only other time that I got to do something like that is when I came down here visiting Vegas once. I talked to the toy shack and told him that I like digging through stuff, and he said, well, that's usually what scalpers do. They want to go through and get the stuff we haven't priced yet so they can undercut it. And I was like, no, look, I'll buy that Scorponok for way overpriced, $199 without the Zork thing. It had the helmet, but not the little Zork machine, what do they call it, the micro buddy that goes inside the head. I was like, that's probably only a $75 transformer, but I'll buy that for the stupid ass price you have it listed for if you let me go in the back and dig through and buy some broken stuff. And I got like a Cobra Stun, some, I think a water moccasin for Tiger Force, and then a few G.I. Joes I could fix on my own, and ended up spending like probably $400 there, because even though I'd pull stuff out, he's like, oh, if I complete that stun, it would be worth, $75, so I can give it to you for maybe $60. Like, fuck off, dude. Like, come on. I get that scalpers and eBay people have ruined it for everyone else, but the hunt is dead. It takes all the fun out of it when everyone charges an arm and a leg for stupid shit. So, needless to say, I left Toy Shack with two bags that cost me $400 when I filled a Home Depot-sized moving box from the toy stable for the same price, and we're talking everything. Oh, I think I even got Rambo figures from Lynn. Just everything. Now, that's not knocking Toy Stable now. The guy runs a pretty decent priced online store, and if you ever visit Washington, look it up. It's cool, but it's just, you know, times have changed, prices have changed, and everything is so damn expensive now, it's ridiculous. Toy Shack, I will say this, don't ever go there. If you come to Vegas, it's an absolute waste of money. He's a Funko bobblehead guy. He's overcharging for absolutely everything, and he basically runs a museum that you can buy stuff from, even though there's nothing there to buy. He will buy collections, but you know how things go. If you sell anything to a toy store, you're only going to get 30% of the value so that they can double it and then put it online. So, yeah, Toy Shack is way too overpriced. If you are in Vegas, though, Big Bang Toys will have the current things. They're not so much on vintage. They will have current things that you're looking for, and it may be maybe $5-$10 more than shelf price, but at least you can find the Gina Carano Star Wars figures. I've never gone in there looking for something and not find it at Big Bang Toys. Rogue Toys, under new ownership that I'm excited about now, they kicked the dumbass out. They have the vintage stuff, and you'll go there. They have the toy swaps that I do, and there's just tons and tons and tons of vintage figures. And sometimes you will find, they'll have Wounded Hero boxes and parts boxes. You could go through the, it's like a washer, screw, and nail organizer for your garage, and they have body parts for G.I. Joes, and you can custom make your own G.I. Joe on the spot. They have buckets and bins of Legos where you could just, one scoop is like $10. You can put anything you want in there. Of course, you know, they pulled all the minifigures out, obviously. But, yeah, that's sort of the go-around for Vegas as far as action figures go. So, I am out at Nellis. I drove all the way out here, and I see some pretty interesting things. I'm not going to jinx it. I think there are some B-1 bombers at Nellis right now, and that is exciting as fuck, because if that is what it is, those things rattle windows and set off car alarms, and it's going to be amazing. They're not here for Ukraine support. I do believe we have a red flag coming up, which is the Top Gun training thing I've mentioned a few times. So we should have a few bombers here and there. Oh, yeah, I think those are B-1s. I'm going to need to make a UE and park on the other side of the gate, break out some binoculars, and see what we got going on here, because this looks pretty rad to me. So let me do some Dukes of Hazzarding here off-roading, and I'll settle up and then get back at you. All right, so I am the crazy guy parked across the street from Nellis over by the Speedway, so a lot of NASCAR fans would know where that area is. And a quick look around. I see a C-17, those big cargo planes. Looks like we have a E-4 reconnaissance plane. Oh, dang. Military is running patrols. I never seen that before. They're running patrols along the gate right now. I just got passed by a Jeep going full force on the sideline. That's a little crazy. All right, got the binoculars out. Let me see if I can check. Oh, yes, it is. Three of the B-1 bombers are currently here. That's so freaking awesome. If you've seen any of my videos, you'll know those are one of my favorites. And they're absolutely huge and super freaking loud. Usually everyone will complain about them when they're here. So that should be pretty cool. Well, that was neat. I like... I'm trying to get over these curbs and things. Yeah, so there's like a little sand side area that you can go park on. But I guess next week is red flag. I looked it up, and NASCAR is this week, so it may be hard to get in and out of here. Not that you guys care, I'm just talking about for me. You know, it's funny, whenever red flag happens, this is one of the number one military training bases in the nation, and has the Top Gun school for fighters, and then interdiction with the bombing units, which is why the B-1 bombers are there, and why we get the stealth and the B-52s and all those sorts of things. But the community has never really quite caught on to that. And it's so funny, we have Facebook groups dedicated to Las Vegas emergencies, and it's, oh man, there's a cop car on Cheyenne, oh, there's cops speeding by, it's always something. But then, you know, with everything that's been going on lately, you get these jamokes that are like, oh, I just saw three military planes flying real low in formation. What is that? Are those Russian? Oh my God. They wouldn't be able to get over any of the water's borders to even fly into the country. So no, that's not Russian. We do have, which was hilarious, I kind of joked when this happened before the war in Ukraine and all that, that we have Russian helicopters and a couple Russian MiGs that we train and practice with. And they were flying over right when Russia's threatening nuclear war. So a lot of people panicked, well, probably a little bit rightly so. That's a little more unknown that we've had those. Tonopah actually used to house the F-117s and a secret group of Russian fighter jets that would go out there in the test range and, you know, practice the war maneuvers and dogfighting and whatnot. But, yeah, all these things, this is basically reminiscent of the 80s and the 90s with all the war stuff. I mean, I used to go collect the Desert Storm cards. Ooh, a Raptor just flew overhead. I don't know if you can hear that. The Raptor is the stealth version of the F-15. Very cool plane. Can't hear it coming, but you sure hear it when it's leaving, that's for sure. The Raptor was Starscream in Transformers. There you go, nerds. Now you can relate it to something. Don't think the B-1 bomber has been in any significant movies, so probably wouldn't recognize that one, but it's got a swoop wing that goes back and forth, four big afterburner engines, and, yeah, it's a sight to see for sure. I've posted them before. So if you've seen my pictures, then you know what the hell I'm talking about. But yeah, you get these people complaining, especially when the B-1 bombers are in town. Like, I wish these fucking jets would stop. All I hear all night long is rattle and rumbling, and the car alarm keeps going off. Okay, well, two things. If you're that close that you hear it, you live in the poor community, and you're probably there for a reason. That is the poor community. Because the planes are loud next to the military bases. Every military base you see, if it's not gated and it's next to a military base, all those housing areas are the poor communities. That's why the ghettos are always outside of the bases. And they always go on Las Vegas emergency. Oh, I saw this. Oh, this is so loud. Why does this have to happen? Because America, bitch. Because we're trying to protect things. We're trying to use these things. We have to keep them in practice so that they don't just wither away. That's why, and I'm just learning a lot of these things because I wasn't in the military, but I'm learning the maintenance and the upkeep is really what makes the United States military a lot more lethal. Is because we keep everything going. So I learned that during the Afghanistan thing when we left all of those cargo planes and the helicopters and all the weapons and millions of dollars worth of stuff when we exited Afghanistan. They couldn't use them because even if they were sort of usable, they couldn't keep the maintenance on them. They didn't know how to keep the sand out of the intakes or whatnot. So it's, I guess I understand now. They were basically rot unusable. So with everything that's going on, there really isn't any cause for concern that we're going to see anything over our airspace. However, if you do pay attention to aviation, our ballistic missile team has been in the air patrolling just in case. So that's your E-4, your E-6, and the E-8 planes. And they're all electronics, but they're basically a nuclear command center. So if you ever want to read something interesting, look up Tokamo and E-4 doomsday plane. And it'll give you some insights on what people have to do to launch a nuclear weapon and what we're doing to detect and protect ourselves from them. And those planes have been in the air all week, whereas we've seen them maybe once a month just to keep them rolling. They've been up every day, 24 hours, since this whole thing's happened. They're detecting, they're protecting, they're trying to figure it out. Which, it's real weird to me that we can protect ourselves from a military power that uses technology, yet we're absolutely helpless when it comes to... I almost said something really bad. I guess I shouldn't call them that. Sand people? Let's call them Tusken Raiders. Yeah, when it comes to Afghanistan and Iraq and things like that, we can't do anything against them because they fly our planes into buildings. They take over a country. They're primitive. They're barbaric. And the only way to... The same thing with Vietnam. I mean, they were a ground force. The only way to take out something like that is to just carpet bomb and destroy the whole place with a nuke. And that could cause a nuclear war. I mean, now, when we were the only ones that had a nuke in Russia, it was between us. Now that other countries have it, okay, we probably don't want to use it because then they'll throw one over here. But another interesting thing to look up is... look up nuclear football. So at all times, the president of the United States has somebody with them that they carry what they call the football. And that is the nuclear briefcase that has all of the codes and all of the code cards, the cue cards, the code words, everything you would need to launch a nuclear attack and communication to the E-4, E-8, E-6 planes that are up in the air. Real scary stuff when you think about it. I think Russian has the same thing. It's called like a Chekhov or something like that. But basically every nuclear nation has a nuclear briefcase that if they open it up, hit a few buttons, and call the codes in, then that's about it. We're done. Nuclear weapons have progressed for so long now that you can actually deploy a missile at the percentage of nuclear capability that you want it to be, which is just baffling to me. If you want to launch something that's only... say the quarter of a nuclear bomb, you could just input that, even though it's got the capability on there. I don't know how they only explode a quarter of the bomb, but I guess the days of Nagasaki and the Enola Gay dropping the giant H-bomb and everything are over. It's all these little tiny-ass missiles that can be used to blow up a building, or it could be used to take out a town. Scary stuff. But I doubt that there's any threats here for that. When 9/11 happened, the only plane that was flying was the Doomsday plane. And communications went down, and they took out our internet and all forms of communication. The E-4, which is basically a giant 747, would be up in the skies controlling and communicating with our military to make sure everything's safe. During 9/11, that was the only plane that was allowed to fly. In fact, you could actually see it. There's a conspiracy theory that they thought another plane was going to hit the White House because they saw a giant white plane in the background. That was the Doomsday plane. It was ours, and it was just making sure that another one wasn't coming. So, interesting stuff. I've always been interested in warfare and military play and how these things all work, and especially since now we've got this guy who possibly put his people on nuclear high alert, his soldiers, meaning that if they piss him off enough, he's going to retaliate. He told Sweden not to join NATO, and now the neutral country is considering doing it. He's like, Sweden and Finland, don't do it. I've got my nuclear people on watch, and if he gets pissed off enough, well, he'll fucking do it. So, we'll see what happens, you know? Really, really interesting times going on right now.
Now, I know most of us being nerds, you only like to hear about the wrestling and the comics and the stuff like that. I got nothing. There's nothing in the stores right now that I'm looking for. Somehow I missed Sabretooth from Age of Apocalypse. That was the only one I wanted. And there's, for some god-awful reason, 15 Cyclops at every single store. And now they've moved on, and now we're getting the Doctor Strange wave. And I hate, absolutely hate the MCU figures. They just, they're not interesting to me, and they don't look like the comic characters. I'm only collecting what looks like the 80s or 90s characters. So, yeah, there's really not much that I'm looking for or collecting. I'm sort of done with the Nika Ninja Turtles. I may get whoever the Tetsuo, is that his name? I may get him if he gets a figure. And then I think that's it for the movie figures. As far as the cartoon figures, if I find them, I might pick them up. It looks like they're easier to find. I couldn't find the Frogs or Wingnut and Screwloose, and those are all, I swear they're going to go on clearance. They're in abundance everywhere. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Not much news-wise. I actually have another interview I have to do here for another podcast. Not sure which one it's going on. I believe TB Toycast. So check that one out. And that'll do it for this week. I'm going to air fry a corn dog. It's about the whitest, most American thing I could possibly say.